It's time for everybody's dot life. An opinionated pop-based podcast starring Crane, Len and Nick.
All right. And you're three, and you're two, and you're one. And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this extra special edition of Ego, due out on the 1st of May. We are now in the 24th of May, and I don't care if I date it, but we're joined tonight, especially hot off the press, Ryan from Theme Park Trader Podcast. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. A very deep voice this evening, as I've got a stinking cold in May, which is just bollocks.
It's you do sound like your balls have dropped.
It's about time.
Yeah. And then, talking of balls dropping, I can't call him what I normally call him, because he doesn't like it. We have Nickel Arse from Jenny.
I've got Warwick Davis eyes.
It's Warwick Davis and...
No.
Yeah.
No, the song is Betty Davis, like, isn't it?
Yeah, but Warwick Davis was the one who was knocking one off in the cinema.
He wasn't.
With your pecker.
He wasn't.
He literally was. You need to listen to... Yeah. Ryan, you need to listen to this week's This After Dark.
You don't need to listen to this
week's. I'm going to. Yeah. I haven't got around to it yet, but, I mean, if Warwick Davis is involved, I'm in.
It's in two parts. The first half is very, very theme park centric, and a really weird. It's a nice show, and then the second half it just falls off a cliff.
Just Warwick Davis jacking Nick off.
Yeah. But I will say it's an editing masterclass.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was quite good. Right. So let's press on. Ryan, say, I know you're riddled, so I'm not expecting you to be drinking. What are you drinking?
I've got a cup of tea.
Oh my god.
Nicholas,
what type of tea? Is it Yorkshire?
No, it is Twinings English Breakfast, because I'm down south and posh.
Do you have a butler?
Sadly, I don't have that much money yet. Oh. They don't just hand them out.
Well, you've just been telling me what you do for a living, so you've got the money. I'm sure you've got...
I spend it all in Florida, that's the problem.
You've got a butler in every room. Are the royal penises clean, sir? Little movie reference there for you. Oh, Nick is being Snow White and feeding the birds.
Am I?
Well, we can hear one.
Birds.
Yeah, one's just gone past. What are you drinking?
La, 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 la.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking nothing, because I was drinking a Coke Zero, no ice, but I finished it because all I could get from McDonald's in a hurry was a fish finger Happy Meal. So you only get a small drink, so I've already downed it.
So, right.
When I get home, I'll have a better drink.
That's quite interesting, that. Ice or no ice, that is the question.
It's ice. Why would you put ice in your drink?
Because that's how the multi-conglomerate multinationals make all their money. Because they fill your cup up with ice, and then you get half a cup of Coke, and you're like, that, what? Say what in the his?
The worst one, right? Is if you go to Starbucks, other coffee chains are available, and you get one of their ice drinks. Sometimes what they do is they'll crush the ice. So when you've got your Frappuccino or whatever, you've got like a nice crushed ice beverage. But sometimes certain ice drinks, they just throw in a load of ice.
I'd be like,
so
take the ice out.
What you've got is about 20% liquid and 80% ice cubes.
And Ryan is a Starbucks slut.
Only when it's PSL season. Usually I'm a Costa man.
Oh.
Ooh.
Controversial.
See, I'm a Starbucks gold card.
Ooh.
So, well, that just means I buy too much Starbucks in the 12-month period. Yeah. That's what that means.
You're literally like Jimmy Savile now.
Well, no, because you always call me that at the beginning of the show, and they're just hinting that I am Jimmy Savile. Just for anyone listening, I'm not Jimmy Savile.
I had Jimmy Savile on one of my trains once.
So you're the reason.
Yeah. And he had a gold British Rail pass because of them adverts. This is the age of the train. Do you remember them?
Right. No, they were far too young.
Fucking.
They must have provoked that, surely.
Well, he did when he died. When he died, don't forget, he got a hero's welcome. Remember the Shane Ritchie, soon to be forgotten
experience?
Yeah, where he sat in the chair.
It was afterwards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget. It was afterwards.
Paedophiles after dark. So, Ryan, we've brought you on this month to promote your new piece of work. So, what's it about?
It is a piece of work. you can listen to it right now. I've put it live slightly early. I'm just not promoting it until... What date? What's the date today?
24th.
25th. Friday the 25th, it's coming out properly. And it's called The Customer Is Always Weird. You can find us on iTunes and Podbean, and we'll be in other places as they start accepting us, or not, depending on the content. But basically what we do is we find random products and services online and read some of the like most idiotic reviews that people leave for them. So we've done three episodes already.
You've taken your highly successful reviews part of the Theme Park Trader show.
Yes.
And you've spun it. And it's about everything now, then.
It's about everything. But whereas Theme Park Trader is, I'd say, pretty family friendly most of the time.
Yeah.
This is not. We've got, it's me and Dan and also one of our friends, Stu. And we've done three episodes. One is on gummy bears that give you diarrhea. The second one is Miley Cyrus's autobiography from when she was 16.
Ooh.
And the third is James Cameron's Avatar.
Whoa.
And the movie or
the movie.
Or the musical.
The movie.
I am blue, I am going to kill you. The movie. Okay, so when you say it's not family friendly... If I'm on Glenmorangie. I'm on a treble Glenmorangie. It's gone right to
Oh, God.
Instantly. So, you might see the Incredible Hulk in a minute.
Oh, God.
So, when do you drop the F-bombs?
Yeah, we basically just ourselves on it, whereas on Theme Park Trader, we're nice and family-friendly.
We're sort of like that on Days After Dark, aren't we, Nick?
What, not family friendly?
No, we're quite sensible on Days After Dark. And
no, we're not. Like Amanda reminded us today, where she's catching up with old episodes when we was covering in her absence, about you wanting to wank off a dolphin. I think that was your exact words as well.
Why? No, I have wanked off a dolphin. That's why I can't go to Discovery Cove anymore.
I've swum with the dolphin from Jaws 4.
What now?
Jaws 4, yeah, I'm sure it's Jaws 4, the one with the
SeaWorld. No, Jaws 4's the one with the shark.
No, but there's one that's set in SeaWorld, isn't there?
Jaws 3D.
Jaws 3D. That I've swum with the dolphin from that.
Did it like jump out at you? Whoa! Was it going, I'm a 3D dolphin, whoa! Like that.
I'm coming right at you! Well, in your case, it might be, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Dolphin what jizz.
One of my favourite comments I've ever read, I mean, this is not a review, so this doesn't really fit with your podcast, but one of my favourite tweets of all time was when after Avatar had come out and 3D was suddenly a big thing at the cinema again, somebody said, I wish life was in 3D, just like the movies.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. I mean, there's no helping that, is there?
No, well, that's the kind of shit that we read out on the Customer Is Always Weird. It's literally people being that stupid.
I'm not being funny, but if you hold your hand in front of your face now and move it up and down, is it 3D or is it 2D?
3D? Why would it? Would you? Of course it's 3D. What are you talking about?
Because I'm looking. I'm looking out my eyes now, right? But when I try and look in my eyes, everything goes a bit funny.
Well, there you go, Ryan. So right. When I look into my eyes, when I look through my eyes. Like, what are you saying, Kai?
I mean, if you can just leave this for any product that you've bought in the last 6 months, we'll find it at some point.
I'm going to start leaving reviews now of everything and just sending you show ideas.
Well, this week we're doing a UFO detector that is sold on Amazon. So that could be interesting.
I'm sure that's got a one-star rating.
Oh, we don't just read the one stars. That's the kind of that's the main difference between the little segment we do on Theme Park Trader. We're just reading anything that people are. Well, basically, people online are just idiots. So,
yeah,
if it's funny, we'll read it.
Oh, can you imagine that the fella who's left a 5-star review who actually found a UFO?
I know this is what's going to happen. I'm sure.
So again, the title is.
Title is The Customer is Always Weird. You can find us on iTunes, but we're also on Twitter, and our name on Twitter is @CustomerIsWeird.
Now, do you do your voices?
I do. So I've definitely alienated half of the world already in the first three episodes. I did a camp German. I've done a Japanese Liam Neeson.
Oh.
Don't ask. That happened, not on purpose, but it happened during the Miley Cyrus episode. And I think... So that's Japan out. And I think I also insulted the whole southern side of America as well.
Oh, I love it. I literally live for your voices.
I think you're going to like this podcast then.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to get stuck into it. I normally listen to my podcasts at 1.5 speed. So it makes everybody sound like just super chipmunky. Well, it does.
I must sound mental because I speak fast anyway.
Yeah. You want to be a scouser, mate? We talking joined up writing. When I get excited with Amanda and we just go off on one, it's like Brookside, but on acid.
I'm sure there was a story in Brookside about acid. I'm sure it's been done.
Yeah, probably. And I'm probably like, Bowman. There's probably a Bowman story in there somewhere.
Something about patio. So Ryan, what I was going to ask you was, obviously this is kind of spun off. I just come off Fast and Furious Supercharged. obviously this is kind of spun off from a segment you used to do on Theme Park Trader. So where did the inspiration for that first come from?
That actually came from, I just happened to land on, TripAdvisor, I think. And I was just going, okay, what can we do? I had a look at the comments on TripAdvisor and I was just like, this is brilliant. This is absolute gold. And we kind of have a rule whereby when we pick a subject, I will this applies to both the poor reviews on Theme Park Trader and Customer is Always Weird. We look at a product. And I might read like the first one or two to see if it's worth us doing. And if it is, that's it. I don't read anything else. So the show either ends up being brilliant and hilarious or it ends up being really shit. But we don't know until we start recording.
Yeah, so you're totally in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's Nick gone?
And then... I don't know, he's disappeared.
Nick's dead. Someone's finally fucking killed him. Malaby's jumped out of a bush. Just painted his head fucking green.
You could all wish you that lucky.
There he is. We thought Malaby had done you in then.
No, I was there the whole time. I was just on you. I was purchasing some drink.
What drink did you purchase?
I bought a 2-litre bottle of Pepsi Max because they had nothing else in it. Well, I did. They had beer and stuff, but I can't bother to go back and start cracking open beer now, so... Pepsi Max it is.
You're a fucking shandy ass.
No, Pepsi Max. Shandy's different.
What are you doing now?
Sounds like you're having a little fat.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on a second. That might make it a bit more static. I think my microphone is dangling a little bit near my knackers.
You have got big knackers.
I wasn't far off then.
I will. No. And the good news is I'm almost home, so we'll start cutting out the background noise in a little bit. But no, that's a funny way of kind of discovering that. And I think it's perfect for a podcast situation, really, to concentrate on that. Because, as you say, the internet, just in general, it is full of idiots. It's full of stuff that you read and think, have you just really outed that in public? Like, I used to out my wife all the time when she said something stupid like, "What's eating a walnut whip? What's the nut on top of my walnut whip?" or what's that film with that superhero in with the shield? Is it called American Man with Shield? Captain America, obviously. Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly like
so
that.
I used to out her on Facebook. Yeah, so you know the internet is perfect for it, and this is a good outlet to let the world know of the stupidity that you find.
Absolutely, and the good thing is as well, is because I mean, Dan, I've been recording Theme Park Trader with for ages, but it's Dan, me, and Stu, and we know each other as well. So they literally come around mine on a Sunday morning, and we just record it. So it's literally we're just bouncing off each other. Mostly, so far, they just end up insulting me somehow. It's just really fun. It's just really
so
fun.
So you're all round the table or on the couches, and is Stu the fella who went on holiday with his missus and has been on?
Yes, yeah, because he went out there with us, yeah. But yeah, we want to do things like, you know, the first episode, as I said, was gummy bears that give people diarrhea. That's not what they're designed to do. But, you know, if it kicks off and people like it and, you know, we start to maybe make a bit on the side from it, then I'll do, like, kind of episodes where we go back to those and we will purchase those gummy bears and we will film the reactions to us taking the gummy bears.
So I want you to do reviews of laxatives then,
and
whiskey. I forgot to say I'm drinking. Oh, you know what I did say? I'm drinking Glenmorangie. It's gone right to my head. It's the boss.
Well, I did. I was concerned because I sit next to Stu at work, and I walked past his desk earlier, and he just had a big pink dildo on his screen, and I was like, "Mate, what are you doing?" He's like, "Well, I'm just thinking about reviewing it for the podcast." What, personally, or...?
I got 4 inches in my arse, and...
taking one for the team.
Before I blacked out. That I've often wondered if would you take, right, you know the ink out of a pen?
Yeah.
Or do you know them pencils with the... and you go... and it's got the lead going right the way through it. And you load it yourself. Would you be able to slide that down your japs eye?
Oh Jesus! I haven't shoved it down my japs eye, but I do have a little bit of lead in my leg. Not proper real lead because I'd probably be dead. But one of the pencils, I got surprised when I was just pissing about with it at school by a teacher and stabbed it into my leg, and it's still in there.
I thought you were going to say,
that's
experimenting with your arse.
That's amazing. That's amazing, Ryan. I'll tell you why. Because I have a similar story.
He's still when got some of my semen in his arse.
Shut up. We were, if only that was true. We were, when I was at school, we were messing about. Me and a girl in the class were play fighting. And when we stopped, she stabbed me in the arm with a pencil. And I've still got a bit of lead in my arm.
That's incredible. We're like Tenacious D.
Split off and do a podcast and just bring in other victims of pencil-like stabbings.
Well, the thing, yeah, but you see, you joke about that. Like, that happened to me probably around the time that we're going to be going back in time to tonight. So it's been there an awful long time, and I just always assumed I was the only one, and now I've got a lead brother.
Lead brothers for life.
That's not even a thing.
It's now.
It is now.
If you it's had twins, if your hands were identical, I could see that. But I mean, right? I'm now going to break off a bit of pencil and stick it in.
No,
my
you can't just join the club like that. Come on.
Yeah, you can't fake it. You can't just stick a bit of lead in there because you have to have done it accidentally. You can't just force it in there.
I can.
That's like people that fake disabilities by cutting off their legs, which is a real thing.
I mean, you could be part of the unofficial club, but
that's
you can never
not
join
a real,
real
thing. Nobody has ever cut off their legs just to get a parking space.
I guarantee you, somebody has.
Yeah, and I want that review show. Could you imagine that? Oh, he's got Warwick Davis legs. Right, that's a good segue, that, because I don't want to give any spoilers. Ryan, have you seen Solo?
No.
Deadpool 2?
No, I haven't seen either yet.
Oh. Well, hang on a second, Craig, because to everyone listening to this, when it comes out, by the time it comes out, Solo would have been out in the world for 24 hours and in America for about 6 hours.
Okay.
So the chances are many people listening to this won't have seen Solo yet. But Deadpool 2 has been out for about 11, 12 days now.
Okay, so we'll quickly... I mean, I'm not going to give it any spoilers. Me personally, I recommend both films. I give it two Craig thumbs up, right? And I've got lead in me thumbs. So that's proper praise indeed. But I've just listened to Pop After Dark, where you and KY Jelly just ripped the arse out of Deadpool 2. And again, staying spoiler free, I didn't love the film. I enjoyed the film.
So what I would say to anyone that's listening to this episode of Ego that hasn't gone to see Deadpool 2 is you can probably not see Deadpool 2 at the cinema and just listen to that episode of Pop After Dark, and that's all you need to know about Deadpool 2.
Wow. KY Jelly's going to get a slap because he gave it a 6 out of 10. No, 6 out of 100. Was that out of 100? It was, wasn't it? And you give it about a 60. Now, I've given it a 79 out of 100. And I think that's a fairer, because it did take, it did. I was that laughing retard next to you. Can you say that? I was that laughing.
It's your podcast.
Yeah, okay. I was that laughing gimp next to you.
Just as bad as retard. But the thing is, like, what I'm saying when I was talking about, so, for those that obviously haven't heard Pop After Dark, which is everybody, I was talking about my experience of a bloke laughing next to me. Now, the problem was, it wasn't a bloke laughing next to me, because I was laughing. I'm not saying I didn't laugh at the film and other people laugh at the film.
You're dead from the neck up.
But this person not only laughed at every single joke in the film, even the shit ones, of which there were quite a few, but he also kept talking before saying it was going to happen. Oh, this is where we find this out.
Bell end.
Yeah, and the thing is, right, because he was there with, like, I couldn't remember if it was two kids or one kid, but a teenage kid, and his partner, right? And they're all sitting there watching the film, and when the film started, I knew I was in trouble, because as soon as the credits started going up, or like the opening bit, whatever, and he's going to them, stop it now, the film's starting, stop it, film starting. And, I assume they were kicking each other or something. And I thought, I know that you're trying to say this to the people next to you, but you're not quiet about it, because I can hear you very, very loudly. And I know I'm sitting next to you, but if I can hear you that loudly, it's because you're too fucking loud. And that was him throughout the film. And I should have moved, because there was enough space for me to have, in the screen to go, but I just lost the will to move.
It reminds me of when I went to see The Last Jedi. I was in the cinema, and these group of teenagers, bloody teenagers, came and sat in front of me. And it was like the ads, and they were just like, oh, this happens and this happens. Like, they didn't know, because they hadn't seen it, but, you know, they thought they were being funny. And I was just like, yeah, I actually saw it at the midnight opening last night. So I could spoil it for you if you wanted to, and then they didn't say a word for the rest of the film.
Well, I mean, my famous story like that was when I went to see the 3 o'clock showing, opening day of The Force Awakens in Leicester Square, and a guy walked out of the screening that had just finished whilst everyone was queuing up outside and went, Han Solo dies!
Oh, what a twat.
Now, the thing is, funnily enough, like me and my wife, we were talking about it before we went in there, and I had said that because I knew how Harrison Ford had always felt about Star Wars and they'd brought him back, I said, I reckon this will probably happen. But at the same time, that's my fault. That's not me telling people that. That was just what, you know, I expected to happen. So the fact that it did happen wasn't a massive surprise to me. But why have you got to be that much of a dick? Today, on the other film that we're going to talk about in a minute, this morning I saw a spoiler, as in a photo someone took while they were watching Solo and had it on Twitter. And they just went, oh, mate, send me this. This is quite interesting, isn't it? It was 6 o'clock in the morning that I saw that. Literally all I was doing was trying to see reactions. I didn't think there'd be any chance of any spoilers that early, other than people, like, just seeing people's reactions. and this picture popped up, and I was like, "You are a bellend."
Yeah, that's not cool. It's just not a good thing to do.
That's not nice, Dad. I mean, Jack Taylor did it. My little nephew, he's 7. He come running out of the, literally at the Odeon. It was like one of the first opening nights, so it was rammed, and he just couldn't comprehend what he'd just seen. That one of the main characters, I don't want to say it in case there's a knobhead on the planet who hasn't fucking seen it. Now, fuck
right,
off.
If you haven't, well,
Luke Skywalker,
firstly...
he runs out and tells everyone Luke Skywalker's dead, and everybody in the queue, and we were like, "Oh!" And it was like an extraction. We had to extract them. We had to pick them up and arm each and run with them because they would have killed them.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, he has. You know, there is something there with him, whilst this was just a prick in Soho. That's the difference.
Well, when we went to see Infinity Wars as well, the same thing. But we knew this time, we just fucking put a bag over his head and extracted.
But see, the thing is, I don't know if I told you this before, Craig, but I saw Infinity War two nights before it was released to the public. House. Right? I could have spoiled that film for anybody, but why would I? I didn't talk about Infinity War publicly, like nothing, no spoilers or anything on Facebook. Even now, it's been out for like a month.
20 years ago, this couldn't have happened. You know, when you queued up 30 years ago to see the Three Amigos. See, I've just pulled that out of my arse. Then, boom! I bet you that come out in 1988. Suck my
86.
Blows. Oh, fuck off.
I can tell you that now without even looking it up. 86.
One of my all-time favourite films, but it's literally ripped from something else that I can't remember. Oh, no, that was Galaxy Quest. Was literally The Three Amigos, but in space.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
It is, innit?
Ish. I mean, there's a similar.
No, the
premise.
Whole
anyway.
Thing is spoilers.
Right.
I love saying spoilers. I fucking drank all my whiskey, bollocks.
You talked about Deadpool 2 there, yeah. But you and I have both just come out of seeing Solo.
Yeah.
Now, again, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
I loved Solo.
I loved Solo.
And I am so shocked because I was such a naysayer until probably the last trailer that came out. I thought, you know what, it might be all right.
I had belief and trust and faith in Ron Howard and his work. And I've listened to a few podcasts where he's talked about coming in and pulling this movie around. And I thought, I'm going to, you know, I didn't watch the trailers. I watched the first trailer and that's all I watched. And the lead character, I still don't even know his name because I'm not like you, right? But he's not Han Solo.
Cockney.
But no. in that film, he's Han Solo.
I think if you can accept he's playing the same character but not trying to play it as Harrison Ford,
yeah,
he gets away with it. If you go in there thinking... he's going to be doing a Harrison Ford impression. He doesn't. He doesn't at all.
He does a couple of iconic scenes, a couple of movements, shall we say, that Han Solo in the originals might have done.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Ryan, you might want to turn your ears off now, but at one point of the film, he actually walks on two legs.
Yeah,
just like Harrison Ford did. And I just like Harrison Ford did in the originals.
Exactly. That's my point. It's subtle. It's not him doing a Harrison Ford impression. He might hold a blaster the same way. Or, you know, just little tiny things like that. And I loved it from start to finish.
I will say that I honestly think, and I've enjoyed the new Star Wars films, but I think with this one, it's the most like the original trilogy that they've done since Return of the Jedi. In fact, it's probably Empire Strikes Back. It feels like it was done in the 70s in a lot of ways. It has that all that kind of action, and it feels like, you know, the first couple of Star Wars films. It's amazing how he's pulled it off. I don't know how he's done it. I don't know why it's as good as it is. But what I will also say to anyone that's never done it before, because this was my first experience, I went and saw it in 4DX, right? Yeah. Now, for those that don't know, which is probably a lot of people,
this is 4DX, where Warwick Davis went them off.
Yes. So 4DX is a cinema where it's been fitted with these special seats that not only move up and down and left and right, but they also can tilt back and forwards as well. They've got
anal probes.
It's got air that blows from behind your head. There's strobe lighting. There's fans in the auditorium. There's smells. There's water that sprays in your face or up in the air, so it rains down on you. So
in that scene where Chewbacca eats all the gummy bears and gets diarrhea,
yeah,
could you smell shit?
No, but the seat was vibrating an awful lot. Awful lot. But, I mean, and this isn't a spoiler, but obviously, there are bits when there are flying spaceships, and it was like being in Star Tours for 2 hours, either be your idea of hell or heaven. But, I mean, that's not the whole film. I mean, obviously, you know, when there wasn't stuff like that happening or people just talking or whatever, you know, the seats might move a little bit, the camera's moving, but it would be pretty static. But when an action scene kicked in, you felt like you was riding it like you would do it on Star Wars or something. It was absolutely amazing. And I think for a film like that, it's expensive. I think it should have been about 17 quid a ticket. I've got a Sydney World Pass, so I only paid like the upcharge, about 4 quid, but worth it. Shut up, Craig. But the only thing I will say is I watched it in 3D, and because of the nature of it, the 3D sucks ass in 4DX, because when you're not at level with the screen, so if you're tilted backwards or something, the 3D goes terribly. So
I've just watched it in 3D, and the 3D works, so it's obviously 3D, but I wouldn't say it was utilised.
No.
In any portion of the film, so it's a toss-up. I will go and see it again, I think, and I still haven't seen The Last Jedi twice.
Right.
Are you a Star Wars nerd, Ryan, or...?
No, I fucking hate Star Wars.
What?
Oh, I'm a massive fan of Star Wars.
Oh, fucking hell, I was just trying to hang up on you. No, I'll be honest with you, right? I'm not a massive fan of Star Wars. My love for Star Wars has only been reinvigorated because I've got two girls, and one of them is a massive Harry Potter fan, and the other one, because that's what kids are like, has gone the opposite of Harry Potter, and she's gone Star Wars. So yeah. I've been able to rediscover Star Wars, basically.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. Now, I've been at the midnight releases to both Force Awakens and Last Jedi. I didn't go to the midnight release of Rogue One, or obviously not Solo, but the main episodic movies I've been at the midnight releases for.
This is a healthy addition. I wouldn't say it's my favourite. You know what I'm like. I'm trying to steer myself away from that. I'm trying to reinvent myself. Normally, the last film that I've ever seen is the best film I've ever seen. It's hard to say. This might be my favourite Star Wars above Rogue One or The Last Jedi.
I would say, honestly, on a first watch, I mean, what I loved when I saw The Force Awakens, I smiled throughout because I was glad to just see a decent Star Wars film again. But when you watch it back, I mean, it is almost like a greatest hits, which, you know, nothing wrong with that in a lot of ways, but it wasn't very, it didn't really reinvent the wheel. It just ticked all the boxes you wanted them to tick. I honestly feel that with this film, it's probably the one that they've gone back to what made Star Wars so exciting and enjoyable the first time around, but without retracing its steps. Like, it's not a carbon copy, now, but it just has that feeling that those films brought to you.
There's obviously CGI in there at places, but the aliens in this film, as the same as all the new films are puppets and whatnot. What was George? I mean, I'll stick up for episodes 1, 2, and 3. But what was he thinking? Looking at these new films now that are so, they're just part of the Star Wars. Do you know what I mean? That they capture everything perfectly. What was he thinking? Just doing CGI everything.
He's a massive fan of new technology, isn't he, George Lucas?
Yeah.
Even before it's been put in proper use, he's just a huge fan and just embraces it before it's really been tested.
Could there not be an argument to go back and re-release the Star Wars 1, 2 and 3 and retrofit them with puppets?
Well, they already changed Yoda to CGI, didn't they? Because in episode 1 he was still a puppet.
Yeah.
And then they went back and changed him.
Oh, George Lucas. But no, definitely a solid. Definitely. I hope you're going to see it this weekend, Ryan.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to. If not, it will be early next week.
Oh, good on you. Good on you. I hope this deserves to be a success. It really does.
Well, he signed on to 2 more movies, so...
Oh, that's good. Now, Lord Luke Rowe might be joining us now. Now, he likes bumming frogs, so just remember that. Add to call. Come on, Lord Luke Rowe, you dirty little frog bummer. Right, let's... come on, Lord Luke Rowe. Are you still there, Nick? You keep utilising your mute button? He's weeing in a glass. That's what he's doing. Right, well, we're ringing Lord Luke Rowe, so we're going to kick on now. Let's go back in time. Let's get in the time machine. If I was Nick, I would now add some funky time machine sound effect. But I'm not going to. I might. Oh, he's gone.
You won't.
You don't know that.
Just pretend you're in the TARDIS now. Just pretend.
And when I go back in time, all our clothes fall off, like in the Terminator. So we're now going back in time naked, and we're all floating in like space and time, but we're still playing Soggy Biscuit. Whoa! And it's a hobnob, so it's extra absorbent. Whoa! Okay, no?
The image is unfortunately now in my mind.
Well, do you know, if we get enough reviews for this podcast, you can do a podcast on this podcast and that'll burn me out. Right, so we've landed now. We're getting out the time machine and the time is 1998. So the premise of going back in time is basically the year you switched on almost and you become to notice things and... You know, like I go back, mine was 84, so that was Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, just the songs of the era. You know, you start buying records or LPs or tapes or whatever back then. So you've picked 1998.
I have.
Now, how old are you in 98?
7, I think.
Fuck off, you... Fucking young, horrible bastard. You can't be 7. What?
Yeah, sorry.
So, 98, I was 24. So, that's fucking wrong. I've literally bathed you. So, 98, I'm getting married. That's the year I got married. To my wife! Right. So, 98, come on. I mean, you're the youngest one now. You're the youngest one who got switched on. Like, I was 11. I think Nick, he was a bit backwards. I think he was about 16. Stuart was about 17.
I was 10, thank you.
Yeah, he says he was 10, but there's no evidence.
It was 1993. I'm 10 years younger than you.
Bastard. So, go on. 98, what done it for you as a 7-year-old?
I tell you what it was. It was the the console itself was not released in 98, but my favourite video game of all time was, and it is Banjo-Kazooie. I don't know if any of you have played it.
I am not a massive fan of those kind of things, except for Conker.
Except for Conker.
Conker. Where's he gone?
So he's just disappeared. Just dropped a clanger and gone.
He's just dropped his conkers and legged it. He's probably putting what it is. He likes to put Chappy round his bumhole. And his dog just goes at it. So go on, Tom.
So, with that image in my head, Banjo-Kazooie came out that year on the N64. And that is, I remember playing Mario 64 beforehand, but Banjo-Kazooie was the game that really got me into video games, like properly got me into video games. And kind of the same year, you also had Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, which is one of the best Legend of Zeldas ever made. And also, although technically not released in the UK in 98, I got my hands on a slightly early version of Pokemon Red. It was out in the US. So I was a massive Pokemon fan around that age. Actually, I still play the Pokemon games now because I'm a loser. So, that was kind of the first real like year that I started getting into video games, started playing Pokemon, playing Banjo-Kazooie. And just, the N64 was definitely my console that I played when I was growing up.
I've just got Banjo-Kazooie up there, and I can remember it.
I mean, the whole premise is mental, but it's made by a classic UK developer called Rare, who also made GoldenEye 64.
Yeah.
And Conker's Bad Fur.
And Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Trying to say.
Yes, which is, I agree, is one of an absolutely phenomenal game as well.
I'll give you that. I mean, 98, I think I would have been playing Touring Cars on the PlayStation. Codemasters. Metal Gear Solid maybe would have been out then.
Metal Gear Solid was.
And I think Gran Turismo, or that might have been 99, I think.
No, I think that was 97, 98, yeah.
Yeah, now Gran Turismo just blew my socks away because it was so realistic.
It's another thing we've got in common is that 98 was the year I got an N64.
Oh, really?
But I was addicted to another Rare game, which was called Blast Corps.
Yes.
Which was like a weird... I was trying to explain it on a previous show. It's like a kind of... I suppose like a bit of a puzzle game, but with vehicles.
Yep.
But never played anything like it since. They definitely made some amazing games for the N64.
Oh, incredible. Yeah, they really did.
Did they go under or did they get bought out?
That Microsoft owned them now. They've just released a new game that I'm actually playing non-stop at the moment, which is Sea of Thieves. So that's like that for me. That's like return to form that they've not had since they've been bought by Microsoft.
So you're still an active gamer now.
Massive. So like, although I had the N64, I also had the PS1 at the same time. Yeah. I had the SNES before the N64 as well, even as a very young kid, and I've bought pretty much every console since.
Did you... The thing that ruined gaming for me on the PlayStation 1 was the cartridge that you could put in it that would make all your games. You could just play the DVDs, the CDs, the copies, the black games. Did you have that?
Oh, the chip PlayStation?
No, mine. I wouldn't get mine chipped in case anything went wrong with it. So what what I would do is you bought this little kit. It was a cartridge.
Yeah.
And then a spring that you had to put in to keep the lid up. But it would trick the PlayStation into thinking the lid was down.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
And you would put an original game on until the PlayStation low screen come on. And then you'd swap it out for the copy. And it ruined everything for me because I was very much that person who would buy a game, play it to completion. If I liked it, I'd play it again. If I didn't, I'd go and trade it in the shop and buy something else.
Yeah.
When this come along, you could buy them off anybody for like five games for 20 quid. And I went from owning like six games to like owning 200 games and playing none of them.
Yeah.
You'd literally put it on, try it, and go, oh, yeah, it's all right, that, and take it off. You'd play a level, or you'd have a go. It ruined gaming for me. I've never gone back to it, do you know what I mean? It was shit.
I can understand that. It kind of had the opposite effect on me, because, I mean, at the time, I didn't know anyone that didn't have their PlayStation chipped. And as you said, you could get, like, however many games for like a couple of quid. So like 98 was also the release of Crash Bandicoot 3, Spyro the Dragon as well.
Spyro and, like, the Dragon. Oh.
Yeah, like some incredible video games came out in 98.
I completed Spyro the Dragon.
It's coming out again. They're re-releasing the first three later this year.
Oh. But like, where are they now? You know, like, Nintendo has carried on churning out the Mario games, and if you think they're innovative or just fucking whatever, but they've just carried on. But all these other ones that were the PlayStation icons, the Crash Bandicoot, the Spyro the Dragon, they didn't have their own. They didn't have a Sonic the Hedgehog or a Mario Kart or a Mario. No. Or they had a few characters, but they all just sort of died, didn't they? So all they come out again, like you're saying, but it's just a remastered version of the original game.
Yeah, it is. I think Sony definitely struggled with that for a while. Xbox had Halo,
and
Gears of War, which kind of filled that gap, but you can't beat Nintendo on that, really. I think they've got those characters that have been there for forever, really. You're never going to top that.
And I mean, I'm underwhelmed by what Universal are planning for the Nintendo characters. I think it'll be a massive disaster, to be honest. I think it'll just be more screen-based shite.
Yeah, I mean, the technology's there to make a Mario Kart attraction where you're actually driving carts around a track and you're wearing a VR headset and you have sensors on the carts to get hit. If they're not doing that, then they're idiots, in my opinion.
Yeah. If it's a screen-based Mario Kart, it'll be dog shit. But so, come on, let's get back into 98. So, what else did it for you? Was it, are you into the footy? Was it the World Cup?
I'm not into football, but I do always watch the World Cup, and I do distinctly remember that's the first World Cup I can remember, and I remember watching the final with my parents. And my very young at the time, 2-year-old sister, we watched the France 98 final.
Which was Brazil versus France.
Italy, wasn't it? Oh, no, yeah.
Because that was the final where Ronaldinho, or is it Ronaldinho or Ronaldo?
He wasn't going to play or something, wasn't he?
He had a fit.
Yeah.
Foaming at the mouth, like, a few hours before the match was due to kick off. So he was rushed off to hospital. And the Brazilian national team then was very much in the pocket of Nike. They'd signed a big, massive deal. And there was an investigation which Nike were cleared of the next year. But there was an investigation that, because the team sheet come out with Ronaldo missing off the team sheet because he was still in fucking hospital. We'd had this seizure, and another team sheet handed in, and Nike were investigated for putting pressure on Brazil to put him in the team. And he played. They were cleared of all that, I have to say, being all serious on the podcast for a minute. But he played in the game, and he was a zombie. He had one chance. And he just wasn't the same player. 4 years later, he won the World Cup. But so that, we just bought our house in 97. We'd been married. The World well, we were married in July, so the World Cup would have been going on. I'm living in this house on my own at the time. Kerry's just moved in and all that. Kerry's in work. I comes home to watch Brazil, Scotland, which was the opening game. And our house had been broken into.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's why I remember that World Cup. But we had fuck all in this house because it was our first house, so we had no furniture or nothing, and it was half derelict. So
they came in like, shit, it's already been robbed.
Yeah, they come in and tidied up for us and put a bit of wallpaper up. I was like, who decorated this room? Now, we were married in the July, and Kerry's birthday is the day before our wedding anniversary. I bought Kerry a mobile phone. And she was the first person I knew who had a mobile phone. And when I gave it to her on her birthday, she was like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? So we've had mobile phones, proper ones that you can, you know, hold in your hand and don't have to carry around in a suitcase for 20 years, basically, more or less.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, fucking tumours. Big 20-year-old tumours on our heads. So what were the films and what was, you know, what was the
music? Well, the film is, people often criticise me for this, but by far in the best, and nobody agrees with me on this, by far in the best Pixar film that they've made to date came out in this year, and it is A Bug's Life.
Wrong.
Yeah, I know, nobody agrees with me, and that's fine. I can accept it. I can accept it's an opinion that's very rare, but I think it's because I was of kind of the right age. I'd been to see Toy Story at the cinema as a kid, but A Bug's Life I completely loved. Absolutely brilliant film.
Sorry, I still like you said. It sounded like you said rare, but you actually meant wrong. Seems to got that word again mixed up. But you know, you're young, so it's fine. You know what? I think the problem is that Toy Story was such a groundbreaking film and so funny, and the characters were so interesting. And to me, A Bug's Life, when I first watched it, just felt like a very generic cartoon, about bugs. It didn't seem to really, and it's a nice looking film. Obviously, it is a bit dated now, but at the time, it was a nice looking film. But the characters just didn't interest me at all. There just didn't seem to be enough of a distinction between them all. And to me, it was just a step down after Toy Story. And then Ants came out at the same time, which didn't help either.
No, I mean, it's very weird, like, two animated Ants film coming out.
Well, no, it was Jeffrey Katzenberger. Not Katzenberger, who's the... No, it was Jeffrey Katzenberger. I was trying to get one up on Michael Eisner by getting Ants out before Bug's Life. It was literally done as sabotage. That film was rush released. Just to beat them.
Well, I've got the stats up here for that year, and I've just found Ants, and I've just found Bug's Life. So, what was the biggest out of the two of them?
It's got to be Bug's Life, surely.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Bug's Life was number 4 in the hit parade that year, grossing domestically $162 million. Ants was 21, and it grossed $90 million, so... Suck off.
I mean, that film is garbage, though.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, it's pants.
Like, I get it. Like, I totally get it that I am in the minority, and I agree with you. Like, I'm a bit of a weirdo. But I think it's just... Although I'd seen Toy Story at the cinema, this one, like, hit the sweet spot for me at the right age. And I've always loved it since. Like, if I see any Bug's Life merchandise when I'm in Florida, I'll buy it. I still like it to this day. I watched it like 3 months ago, and I still find it good. I still think some of the jokes in it are pretty good, but I totally understand that I'm in the minority.
Go on, Nick.
No, I was just going to say, the thing is, you know, I'm a big fan of Tron. Now I can look at the film. Now, like the first one, in terms of being unlike anything else that's come before it or since, but it's not particularly good film story wise. But I think if you watch something that young and it leaves that impression on you, then you will always resonate with that film.
Yeah, I think
regardless of what anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
The thing that puzzles me, right, is the likes of Toy Story and Bug's Life. I've got a problem with Bug's Life. I haven't watched it for 20 years. I watched it last year, and it's still a really solid film. But why can't they just reanimate the whole film and just put it out again?
Well, they can't do that anymore because Kevin Spacey's in it.
Well, but Kevin Spacey's in it, Kevin Spacey's in it, Kevin Spacey's in it. Just you know, keep all the music, all the dialogue, everything. Keep everything exactly the same and just, you know, like Spyro the Dragon 20-year anniversary or whatever is about to come out. It'll be Spyro the Dragon exactly the same but with a more polished graphic.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool. I think I also think that movie's got such an incredible soundtrack as well. Definitely one of my favourite Pixar songs is in that.
So bring Bug's Life out now, right, using the same technology they've employed for Incredibles 2.
Yeah, it would be cool.
I don't know why Disney haven't thought of that, to be fair, because Toy Story, when you watch Toy Story compared to Toy Story 3, Toy Story's dog shit.
Yeah, it does look quite old, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, there's a few things wrong with Toy Story in terms of, like, some of the things that are wrong with the animation. But overall, I still think it doesn't look that bad. Like, if you go back and watch some of the 60s and 70s, especially 70s Disney films that they did, animated films, they are terrible. They reuse the same animation.
Yeah.
They're just not very good. But with Toy Story, I still think it holds up. But if you compare Toy Story 1 to Toy Story 3, you can see that evolution. To be honest, the main toys themselves actually look pretty much the same from Toy Story 1 to Toy Story 3. It's the supporting characters and the world and the environment around it that improves as the films go on.
So, what was the top film that year?
Was it either Armageddon or Saving Private Ryan?
Fucking hell, he's good.
I would have said Titanic, but I think it came out late 97, didn't it?
It's not there, so.
Yeah, I think it came out late 97.
The number one film was Saving Private Ryan, $216 million domestic. Followed by Armageddon, $201 million. But then number three was one of the funniest films I've ever seen in my life.
Oh God, hold your sides.
No. I think I've nailed it this time. There's something about Mary.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a good film.
The first time I watched it, I thought my dad was going to have a heart attack. He didn't stop laughing for about 5 minutes during the zipper scene. Yeah. Like, he was laughing so hard, we had to turn the film off.
Because Frank and the Bean?
Stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, I'll give you that one, Craig.
Now, you've got Lee Evans on crutches as well.
True.
Classic fucking movie. Honestly, God, I mean,
it
I don't.
Good.
I don't know if I would still laugh at it. I haven't seen
it's
it.
It's dated
about 10
quite
years,
badly.
Has it?
Mm.
Yeah.
You've got The Waterboy. You've got Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, Waterboy is a great
God.
Film.
Rush Hour.
Yeah, Rush Hour's alright.
Yeah, the first one's alright.
Deep Impact is number 8. Now, to me, that's a better disaster movie than Armageddon.
But again, that's another example where they tried to rush a film out to counteract Disney, because I think that was also DreamWorks. I think Deep Impact might have been, but
I love the just, you know, they don't save the world, do they? They nearly save the world, but some shit still goes down. I like that. I like the way they're sitting on the beach at the end, spoilers, holding each other.
See, I can never get over Bruce Willis.
Oh, there's that voice.
Why, Brucey?
That's on tea. Imagine him doing his new podcast, Twatted. You've got to do a late night version.
We should. Well, we have been talking about recording it drunk. Well, Stu and I, at least. Dan doesn't drink, but Stu and I have talked about doing it absolutely battered.
Dan just like snorting coke next to you.
Yeah, he goes straight for the Class A.
Yeah, I don't drink, but you know. Oh, bless him. Right, now, come on. Godzilla.
Oh, no. Was that 98?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember.
That movie's atrocious.
Yep. I've never seen it all the way through. Couldn't put myself through it. And I love big monsters. You know, I've always loved the various versions of the King Kong, even King Kong Lives.
Did you say I love big monsters?
And I do love that, yeah.
I let that one slide, but I knew you wouldn't.
Is that why you... When I woke up in Florida, your balls were an inch from your nose.
Yes.
Fucking hell, I knew it. The Truman Show.
I love The Truman Show. I think it's such an underrated film.
It still messes with my head now. I still look out the window. I'm going to expect to be driving my train one day and just hit the fucking wall.
I mean, yeah. If you're doing that, the train's going wrong somewhere.
Well, yeah. Everybody's trying to talk me out of driving my train to Londinium on a special day. I don't know. Lost in Space. Now, that's been on Netflix recently.
Oh, is that the one with... that's not the one with Matt LeBlanc, is it? Because that is...
It is.
Yeah, dog shit. That was down at number 30.
Awful film.
69 million. Oh, boy. Meet Joe Black. There's some fucking films this year. I Still Know What You Did Last Year. Urban Legend. Grease reissued. Come in at number 69. 28 million.
It was the 25th anniversary. Or, no, 20th anniversary that would have been.
The Avengers 1998 edition.
Now that is a shit film.
It really is. I mean, we've been saved by the Avengers this year, haven't we? I think 20 years ago.
Wow.
So that's a remake of the 60s TV show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's in it, isn't he? Doesn't he have a guest appearance in it somewhere? A cameo?
Yes. Yeah, Patrick Manee, yeah. Oh, he's terrible. It makes no sense at all.
You can see what's going on here this year, because Psycho 1998, come on. Out as well. Is that
see, Hollywood just repeats itself, doesn't it? They just re-release it. Like, we think this is the age of re-releases, but I mean, look back at 98.
And Hayes' Butthole.
And Hayes' Butthole, yeah. Have you seen that?
No, what the hell was that?
Well, in the shower scene, Anne Heche, the actress, when she's getting killed, she fucking keels over and there's a ring piece on the fucking screen, on the silver screen.
Yeah, no, I have seen it. I didn't know the actor's name. I have seen Psycho, yeah.
Well, I only watched the original this year.
I only watched it a couple of years ago.
And it's not a horror film. It's a thriller, but it's not a horror film. It's psychological, but it's not a horror film. Fucking dog shit, in fact. Fuck. Fuck you, Psycho. Nick's just fucking in shock. Right, come on to music. So what was a 7-year-old Ryan body popping to?
You know what? I don't really think music was, at that age, like video games and movies. And another big thing for me was Harry Potter. So Chamber of Secrets came up that year, I think. That's when I got into Harry Potter.
So you were ahead of the curve there.
Yeah, oh yeah, massively. I've always been a huge fan of the books, less so the movies. But I'm a massive Potter nerd.
How would you improve the movies?
Well, like... I probably wouldn't have hired David Yates to direct 4 onwards, to be honest. Because he's shit. You don't add scenes that aren't in the books and replace, you know, and then get rid of the scenes that are actually important. I mean, that's just stupid.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. There's so much stuff. Would you be averse to them bringing them all back as a TV series, each book a TV series?
I would love that, because they could do it properly.
Yeah, literally properly. 24 episodes, not a chapter per episode, just fucking 24 episodes.
Well, think of a series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix. That's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good.
What about a 44-year-old man? Would I get anything out of it?
I think so. Patrick Warburton's in it.
I don't know who he is.
The flight attendant on Soarin'. Patrick.
Oh,
flight attendant Patrick.
Yeah, okay. I'm terrible on names. Okay. I'm terrible. Well, the number one song, and it harks back to what Nick said before, was Celine Dion.
Oh, God.
My Heart Will Go On.
This is why I probably wasn't listening to music at that age.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
And this has shocked me. Number two, the highest song, was Cher and Believe.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, that is still cutting edge to me. That's fucking... And then...
No. That was so bad.
Number three is Run DMC versus Jason Nevins. It's that like is death.
And such
that's
change.
The way it is. That's fucking 20 years old. Fucking hell. Yeah, Aerosmith was number 11 with I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Brucey!
You okay?
Not right.
Oh, Bewitched, C'est la vie.
They performed at my school.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, they performed at my school.
I've literally shot me load into a sock to that.
Oh.
Nick, are you okay tonight? I just
not anymore.
Oh, dear. Oh my God, I feel old. Aqua, Dr. Jones.
Oh, I do remember that song. Well.
Now that is a tune. Dr. Jones, she was gorgeous. Robbie Williams, Angels. That was only the 16th highest song of the year. I've sang that.
Well, that's probably global, though, because when that song was hit, it was probably the biggest song in the UK that year.
No, this is UK Top 100,
1998. Really?
Yeah. So it might only have come out towards the end of 98, maybe.
Because Savage Garden must have been 98 as well.
Yeah, that was you shot your load in a sock to Truly Madly Deeply, didn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And on to November.
Yeah, dirty boy. Horny, I'm horny. Horny. The Three Lines, 98. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember how shit it was compared to the first version.
What about Fat Les, Vindaloo?
Yeah.
I had that. I bought that. The Teletubbies. Teletubbies say, uh-oh.
I remember that one.
Oh, you fucking had it. You had the T-shirt at 7.
I remember because my sister was, I think she was two or three. And obviously Teletubbies were massive. And I remember I distinctly remember seeing the stress build up the closer it got to Christmas in my parents as they were desperately looking to find a Poe toy. Because they just sold out, like, everywhere. I don't know if it was in 98 or slightly later, but I remember that just being mental.
And which one was Poe?
The red one.
The scooter. The best one.
He was fucking dead hard, him.
I don't know, Dips. I reckon Dips. Is it Dips the one with the handbag? He definitely had bricks in that.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Poe had a little flick knife. He'd go past on his scooter and just stab you in the ass.
Straight as he's going past. Yeah. Drive-by stabbing.
Fucking hell. Fat Boy Slim. Gangster tripping.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I feel so old.
Brimful of Asher as well must have been that year, which was another Fat Boy Slim remix.
All these songs just fucking... Oh. Now... On my wedding, the wedding song, that was one job I was given. One job. Craig, get our wedding song. Okay.
So was it Suddenly by Angry Anderson?
Singer?
No, it was Kylie and Jason's wedding song from Neighbours.
It was Wet, Wet, Wet.
Okay.
What was that? Love Is All Around. I feel it in... Oh, I'm getting emotional now. fingers. I feel it. I am 8. So on the night of the wedding, not 2 weeks before the wedding or a day before the wedding, on the night of the wedding.
Hold on, we don't want to hear about this.
I stuck it in the wrong hole, and the rest is history.
I don't like you in Crazy's fingers. Again, no. Something I learnt from Florida.
I'm the medication doctor.
When he's buying you drinks all night, you should be concerned. That's when you should not have gone back to the hotel.
Oh, Ryan, he's a fucking shandy ass. It doesn't matter how many drinks you buy him. So I send Stuart off. Go and tell him. Here's his money. Pay him. And go and tell him to get ready. Cue up the wedding song. He didn't have it. The biggest song of 1994. And literally the most romantic song ever written.
No.
It is.
It's not.
Right, everybody's got one. I'm saying it now. We are going to launch a playlist on Apple Music of our top 20 romantic songs to get your Judy's nice and in the mood for some love. You can all put this playlist on. We're going to share it tonight. Put this playlist on, and all your Judy's will be gagging for it. So, okay, that's going to be a thing now. Everybody's got one loving. Okay, so we ended up with, I think it was that Rod Stewart one with the Bryan Adams.
And All for One.
No, it wasn't that one.
Yeah, no, it was. Wasn't it called All for One and All for Love?
No, yeah, but I don't think it was that song. That would be fucking hilarious. Imagine that as your wedding song.
The song for the Three Musketeers.
Yeah. I think it was a Rod Stewart one. Was it Have I Told You Lately? You sung that? I can't remember.
Was it Young Turks?
Sing it.
No, it's just another Stewart song.
It must have been I Am Sailing.
Maggie May.
Oh, dirty Maggie May. Oh, no, the other one. Have you anything else then from 98?
Well, there was a certain theme park opening in 1998 in Disney's Animal Kingdom. And it would be insane for me to mention 98 without talking about a theme park that opened.
So you must have gone then.
I did go in 98, yeah, I did. My parents started taking me to Disney World, well, since I was, I think my first trip was when I was 3. And then we would go like every other year, every year if we were lucky, very lucky, but every other year at the very least. So yeah, we definitely went that year. And I do, I remember, although the lodge wasn't open, I think, until 2001, I remember because we won a holiday to stay at the lodge just as it opened, which was incredible, like absolutely incredible. But yeah, Animal Kingdom, we were there. Was never my favourite Disney park, still isn't, but I'd certainly love it a lot more than I did growing up.
That must have been amazing, though, as a 7-year-old to be... The hype, all your family excited and getting you excited. Did you stay on property, off property?
The only time I stayed on property as a kid was when we won that trip to the lodge. That's the only time.
So was it villas or was it International Drive? Or
We always had a villa and we usually went for 3 weeks.
Wow.
So we'd have one day at the parks, one day back at the villa, chilling around the pool, doing, you know, Walmart and that kind of thing.
That's unheard of now.
What, 3 weeks?
No, like having a day off in between.
I know. Like, if I could go back now, I'd be like, what the hell are you doing?
Slapping them and shaking them. Why are we here?
I'm like, Mum, Dad, you paid for a 21-day pass, yeah? Okay, so let me ask you why we're not there?
Yeah. Why are we in Walmart buying a bucket of boneless wings when I could be having a turkey leg on Main Street?
Exactly.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what we used to do every single time. We'd be there for 3 weeks, but we'd have one day at the parks, one day not.
Strange, that.
Well, so, if it wasn't for my parents, then Theme Park Trader wouldn't exist. My love of Disney wouldn't exist. So I've got to give them something.
Yeah, it still must have been an amazing time.
Because... It was. Yeah. I mean, there was no other kid that I knew that got to do that. You know, that I think some of my friends have been maybe once in their life. And to do that, you know, every other year, sometimes once a year, it was just amazing.
I mean, my first year was 94. I was 19. That was our first year abroad as a family.
Yeah.
And it was my first year working was 93. So I was, oh no, we went in 93, not 94. So I was raking it in, living at home. I was like fucking Rockefeller on that holiday. That's where I bought Meatloaf Bat out of L2 and the entire Beatles back catalogue on CD. and just fucking everything that I've seen, I bought. So I bought some of the worst T-shirts in existence. And just
there were some corkers back then in Disney, weren't there?
Well, this wasn't Disney. This was anywhere. And
oh, just anywhere you saw.
So walking down Florida Mall or wherever it was, you'd walk into a T-shirt shop and I would just be like, "Ah, there's a T-shirt with a giant fucking... the side of a bottle of Bud with fucking cool water dribbling down it. I'll buy it." You know, just... And I got these fucking Nike trainees that had a sock in them. So you slipped the sock on and the trainee was independent of the sock type of thing. So it was all fucking space age. And they were in the wrong box. So these were like a $100 pair of trainees that I got for like fucking $40 or something. And the fella, nice. The fella just went, "That's the rules," and just fucking give me them. In England, they'd have been wrestling with you and you would have ended up paying
for... You would have been arrested.
Yeah. But it was just so cheap back then. And I think everything's caught up now over there. I don't think Florida's cheap at all.
No, I mean, it doesn't. I mean, the pound is also shit against the dollar at the moment. Yeah. So in comparison to where it was, because I distinctly remember where it was almost like a pound is $2. And I remember being in a random toy shop where I saw Monopoly, and I wasn't working because I'd been given money to spend, and I was like, "Wait a second, this is like $15. No, it was like $30. I'm like, that's £15 for Monopoly. I'm buying like all of these."
So you smuggled Monopoly back into the UK?
Yeah, I did. I think I got like 3 or 4 on that trip. I went through a phase as a kid where I just bought like every type of Monopoly I could see for some reason. I've got about 15 different types.
And did you make everyone buy them? Play them?
Yeah, as soon as I mention the M-word in my family, everyone walks away from me now.
Just clear the room.
Yeah, and there was a World Cup 98 edition that had, like, the dice were like footballs, and you had to roll them in inside the back of the back of the box was like a pitch, and you had to, like, roll them into the goals.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, weird Monopoly knowledge.
So, are you still that man? Can you still clear a party?
Well, as soon as I mention the M-word, people do scatter.
Run for the hills!
They're like, "No, not a four-hour game!"
He's got the EastEnders version of Monopoly! Fucking hell. Well, is there anything else, 98, that jumps out at you?
There's one more thing.
Go on.
And I have to mention it. And that is that it was the year that Google was introduced.
Fuck off.
Wow.
The reason I say it is because I remember as a kid being around my mate's house. I think it must have been 98. And we were using Ask Jeeves. And I remember his dad going, "What are you doing?" And we was like, searching for, I think it was like Flash games back then.
Searching for black cocks.
Exactly, that's what we're doing. We're just looking for black cocks. What's your problem? What's your beef? And he was just like, "What are you using Ask Jeeves for? Use Google. Google's the best." And we all laughed at him, said he, you know, behind his back, obviously, and called him a knob. But
a black knob.
Yeah, because if, had we laughed at his face, he probably would have slapped us. But then several years later, and I work in digital marketing now, and if it wasn't for Google, I wouldn't have a career. So, yeah, I had to give it, I had to mention them.
Does Ask Jeeves even exist?
If it does, nobody uses it.
I mean, AOL, do you remember getting the disc? It was always in the till at Asda.
Yeah.
And that's how I got onto the internet. So it was like 56. We were saying, talking about this the other day, when Warwick Davis was wanking Nick off about Big Brother 1, watching that. You couldn't watch it on the telly. You could only watch the highlights of a night. You had to watch it on your dial-up 56K fucking modem. And it was on a 1-inch by 1-inch screen on the telly, on the screen on your computer. That's what you had to watch it for.
That's mental.
But we did, and we were sitting there watching when Craig confronted Nasty Nick. And we're watching it on this 1-inch by 1-inch, all holding our breath, like, did that just happen? And then and then waiting to see on the highlight show that night. Fucking mental.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, that Google was, like, for me, like, as a kid, like, for some reason, hating Google. I think it's because Ask Jeeves had, a cool butler on it, and, you know, in the South, we're used to butlers. So I could relate to him. But, yeah. Now I work in digital and Google is like part of my working life every day, so it's weird.
That is weird. So what do we put in the show title today to get the best fucking hits ever? Google, Jimmy
Google
Savile.
Black Cox.
Google Black Cox. Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Savile's Google's Big Black Cock.
Monopoly Extravaganza. Show title.
Done.
Right, we're going to sign off, so tell us where we can find you and promote your new show once again.
Sure, so I'm on Twitter personally at Ryanogs, RyanOgs. You can find Theme Park Trader. We've got our website, themeparktrader.com. We also on Twitter, Theme Park Trader, and we've got our podcast, which is every week. And then my brand new show, which is out, it's just been released. We've got the first three episodes out. Is you can find us at The Customer Is Always Weird. And then on Twitter, we are at Customer Is Weird.
And you've got a new show coming out next week as well called Big Black Cocks.
Big Black Cocks. Yeah, we're starting off with medium size and then working all our way up.
Fantastic. And on that note, cue the music.
Good days, bad days. Just take them as they come along. Well, I say, you say, don't even matter to me. Smiling on the other side. Smiling on the other. Smiling on the other side. smiling on the other side.
Big Black Cox, yeah, we're starting off with, well, we're starting off with medium size and then working our way up. Big Black Cox, Big Black Cox, Big Black Cox.